It's Friday, December 12th, 2008, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Hello, Stashers, and happy Friday. Boy, it's going to be a fun weekend for me. We've got the Oregon Medical Cannabis Awards taking place tomorrow at the Ambridge Event Center here in Portland, Oregon. Check out the website, ornormal.org/OMCA, to learn all about it. I just went out to the PDX airport here and picked up Alan St. Pierre, the executive director of Normal, who's joining us here as keynote speaker for the Oregon Medical Cannabis Awards. And right after I post this podcast, I'm headed out to the Portland Community Media Studios for Paul Stanford's Cannabis Common Sense TV show, which is the most popular cable access show over here in the Pacific Northwest and in Colorado and a few other places. And Alan's going to be appearing on that show, as well as Madeline Martinez, the executive director of Oregon Normal, and of course the executive director of the Oregon Medical Cannabis Awards. I'll be bringing you interviews and video and photos and reporting from the Oregon Medical Cannabis Awards, all on next week's Stash. Now, coming up on today's Stash, we've got some great stories in our hemp headlines, especially one featuring Bill O'Reilly and the managing editor of High Times magazine, David Bienenstock. You got to check this one out. Coming up on today's Stash, we're joined by California Normal coordinator Dale Gieringer, who's here to promote his book, A New Handbook on Medical Marijuana Facts and Figures, and information on all the state programs that have medical marijuana in the 13 states across the United States. This is the latest and greatest information, so you want to check out that book and check out our interview with Dale coming up here on the podcast. Also, we're going to go to the East Coast and speak with Ken Wolski from the Coalition for Medical Marijuana in New Jersey, and news about a medical marijuana hearing taking place on Monday in the Senate chambers. The Senate committee will be voting on medical marijuana for the first time, so it's important that we have a lot of supporters out there in the Garden State to let their senators know that New Jersey residents want and support medical marijuana rights. We've also got our special musical break for you and our regular hemp headlines, so stay tuned and enjoy. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Teen marijuana use increases slightly. From Reuters, Washington, D.C. Recent declines in marijuana use by U.S. teens appear to have stalled this year, and their abuse of prescription drugs remains at worrisome levels, researchers said on Thursday. The annual survey of U.S. teen drug use, conducted by University of Michigan researchers for the U.S. government, also found continuing declines in cigarette smoking and alcohol use. Marijuana is the most commonly used of the illicit drugs, and its use had been in a slow but steady decrease this decade. But that appeared to halt this year, researchers said. The survey found that marijuana use by students in two of the three grades measured increased slightly. The researchers said 11% of 8th graders, 24% of 10th graders, and 32% of 12th graders reported using the drug in the prior year. But the annual survey has shown an overall downward trend in teen drug use this decade, and President George W. Bush, in comments at the White House, cited progress on the issue during his presidency. Quote, "There's no question there's still work to do in America, but we are making progress. And one way to note the progress is this statistic. Since 2001, teenage use has declined by 25%. That means 900,000 fewer teens on drugs," end quote. It's interesting that George W. Bush would attribute fewer teens smoking marijuana to any drug policies he has enacted. It's not the silly anti-marijuana ads your drug czar has been running, like the ones where cannabis users shot their friends, run over little girls on bikes, or let their sisters drown. Studies have shown that those ads haven't worked, and may have made kids more likely to try cannabis. It's not arresting more adults for cannabis. Bill Clinton doubled marijuana arrests, and teen use went way up. While George W. Bush has arrested more cannabis consumers per year than Clinton, Bush actually slowed down the rate of arrests. Maybe it's medical marijuana. In 2001, there were only 8 medical marijuana states. Now there are 13. And in those medical marijuana states, teen use has gone down at a rate greater than the U.S. average. Personally, I think teen use goes down when the economy gets tight. Marijuana is expensive. Gas costs more, and the minimum wage stayed stagnant for years. Perhaps the slight increase this year matches the slight increase in the minimum wage. Whatever the reason, the fluctuation in drug use by teens is a very complex issue. One place that has consistently lower rates of teen drug use, about half those of American rates, is the Netherlands, where you can buy marijuana in a coffee shop. If you're really concerned about teen use, Mr. Bush, why not try regulated sales to adults? Coffee shops in Amsterdam check IDs. Teen pot dealers don't. CIA helped Peru shoot down 15 planes for drugs in the late 1990s. With the help of CIA spotters, the Peruvian Air Force shot down 15 small civilian aircraft suspected of carrying drugs, in many cases without warning and within 2 to 3 minutes of being sighted, the top Republican on the House Intelligence Committee said Thursday. It is the first public disclosure of the number of planes shot down between 1995 and 2001 as part of the Airbridge Denial Program, a CIA counter-narcotics effort that killed an innocent American missionary, Veronica Bowers, and her infant daughter in 2001. A State Department investigation into the incident at the time said the Peruvian fighter jets forced another 23 planes to land. Michigan Representative Pete Hoekstra told the Associated Press that most of the 15 planes shot down with the help of the CIA crashed in the jungle. The wreckage has not or could not be examined to ascertain whether narcotics were on board the aircraft. Yep, shoot first, ask questions later. That's a drug war tactic as old as Prohibition. Let's suppose that the 14 other planes that weren't carrying a missionary and her baby were really carrying large amounts of drugs. Does that justify the execution of the pilot and passengers with no proof or trial? We don't even have the death penalty for drug dealers and traffickers until they've been tried and convicted for amounts in the range of 60 metric tons and $20 million. And even then, it is only for the kingpin of a continuing criminal enterprise. All right, you may have caught this on the Countdown with Keith Olbermann show, but it's, of course, something we had to bring up here on the Daily Audio Stash, and it was a clip that appeared on the Fox News channel. Now, first of all, Fox News has a late-night show that's called Red Eye, and that's funny enough for those of us in the cannabis community. And then there was this segment on the show called Red Eye that featured an interview with High Times senior editor David Bienenstock. And he was on the show to promote the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook. Well, let me just play Keith Olbermann's segment on this, and you'll understand.
Well, a couple minutes ago, I was in your green room, and it definitely lived up to the name, so I'm ready to go. Fox News has the best weed in the world. I was really surprised by
it. It's not like it when you get into his personal stash, sir. Calling security.
Bienenstock says what he heard Bleepy Schultz say was, Mr. O'Reilly does not like it when you get into his personal stash, sir. I'm calling security. And they bleeped his name. The dark side here, these Red Eye guys don't need me defending them. They work for Fox. They got enough problems. But in bleeping the obvious joke about Billo, there's the unintended bright side. Somebody somewhere heard that and just assumed that what Schultz had said that had been so horrible that it had to have been bleeped must have been, Mr. Murdoch does not like it when you get into his personal stash, sir. Billo the bleep, today's worst person in the world.
Hello, Chicago!
Barack Obama has been elected the 44th President of the United States. But will he bring us, the cannabis community,
the change we can believe in?
It's an issue of doctors prescribing medical marijuana. I think that should be appropriate.
Normal is asking you to take action and help us hold President-elect Obama to his word with our $10,000 pro-cannabis law reform ad contest.
When I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Just make a 30 or 60 second video or flash animation that answers the question, what should President Obama do about pot? You can submit as many entries as you like, and winning videos will be featured on Normal's website and television campaigns.
What I'm not going to be doing is using Justice Department resources to try to circumvent state laws on this issue.
The grand prize is $3,500, so enter early and enter often.
Well, I would not punish doctors if it's prescribed. That may require some changes in federal law.
Contest deadline is January 15th, 2009. Check norml.org for official contest rules.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure, and I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama, we couldn't agree more.
Here at Normal, we're always trying to get out the information about the growing truth about cannabis, and we're really excited whenever a new book comes out that helps people understand the scientific facts behind marijuana and its many uses. We've got another one of those books on tap for today, and joining us from California is Dale Gehringer, the author of this new book and the coordinator of California Normal. Dale, welcome back to the program.
Good to be here.
The new book is entitled Marijuana Medical Handbook, A Practical Guide to the Therapeutic Uses of Marijuana. And Dale, why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about what they can expect in this handbook?
Well, this is a comprehensive and extremely up-to-date user's guide to medical marijuana. For anybody who is interested in using marijuana for medical use, it covers like all of the uses that are reported and known out there, including some that are still uncertain. It includes safety considerations, lots of safety considerations, and how to deal with possible adverse reaction problems, which are rare but can happen. It includes scientific references to the literature that you can show to your doctor to say, hey, you know, this stuff really is supposed to help ALS. And those references are up to date to September of this year, I'm proud to say. We've got a chapter on how to grow medical marijuana, on how to prepare it, cooking it in food, making tinctures and extracts, and there's some new science out there about that that we've included here. Have a chapter on drug testing, the most up-to-date, I think, user guide on drug testing that's out there. Information on choosing varieties, the terpenes that distinguish marijuana, as well as the different cannabinoids, discussion of those, and a discussion of the state of marijuana laws, medical marijuana laws in the various states in the United States. So it's quite complete and quite up to date.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds pretty comprehensive. You're covering the medical use, you're covering the legal aspects of it. And so this would be a good reference for anyone in any of the 13 medical marijuana states, and even those people fighting for medical marijuana in the non-medical marijuana states. I think this would probably be a big help in convincing some legislators or voters, don't you say?
Yes, it is. And we're getting a lot of orders from doctors, too, who are interested in this. There's, of course, the growing field of cannabis medicine, and a lot of mainstream doctors don't get much information. They don't know how much information there is out there, actually, mm-hmm. about how many different indications have been for which marijuana has been reported to be effective. This has been, as I say, pretty popular amongst medical clinics as well.
Mm. Now, there are a lot of books out there that purport to talk about marijuana and its medical uses. What are we going to find in this new handbook with, like you say, the most up-to-date information? What is some of the new, most breaking information on medical marijuana that they'd find in this book that they might not find in other books?
Well, that's a good question. This is actually sort of a very much updated edition of a book I co-authored 10 years ago, and a lot has happened in 10 years. One thing that's in here is there's a lot of recent information that's really only known within the medical marijuana community about psychiatric disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder, attention deficit disorder, or ADD or ADHD as they are referred to, bipolar, and anxiety as well, clinical depression. All of these now are widely recognized amongst cannabis practitioners with a psychiatry background, but it isn't very well known at all in the wider literature. There has been very few strictly controlled, double-blind FDA kind of studies. There haven't been any, in fact, on these psychiatric indications. And in most of the medical marijuana states, they don't even recognize them.
Right.
But in fact, like 25 or 30% of the patients that we've got here in California are using this, marijuana for primary diagnosis, and especially things like PTSD. Also sleeplessness, by the way. Mm. There's been increasing evidence, mainly from like surveys that are not considered double-blind, scientific, rigorous studies, but which are pretty convincing on their own right. When you do a survey people with chronic pain, and you know that you find that 70% of them say they sleep better with marijuana or something like that.
Right.
That is, you know, I think of interest both to patients and doctors. It should be. There's some new speculation out about marijuana possibly having a helpful role in preventing the progression of multiple sclerosis. For years we've known that it was had some symptomatic relief for certain problems with multiple sclerosis, tremors and so forth. But now there is evidence that it may actually help prevent progression of the disease itself. of course, have been chronic pain has been the leading area, and there's been a lot of research in chronic pain. But now, within the last couple of years, there have been at least three or four now FDA studies that are have really nailed down the fact that marijuana works on chronic pain in a parallel but different manner than opiates, using different receptors in a way that can actually help magnify the effects of opiates. Opiates and cannabis used together can be more effective than either one separately, and you can reduce your dosage of opiates using cannabis. And that's something else that has started to become recognized in medicine now. And of course, now you've heard there's talk these days of marijuana possibly having anti-carcinogenic effects, specifically for gliomas or brain cancers, which I put in the very speculative category. We mention these speculative things in here, but we also make it clear that they really haven't been demonstrated in any meaningful clinical sense. It's just stuff that's been noticed in, you know, laboratory cultures. Those are a few of the new areas here.
Yeah.
I think the psychiatric indications are very interesting, actually.
Well, I do, too, and I'm really excited about the psychiatric applications because, like you mentioned, California is the only medical marijuana state for which marijuana can be recommended for any condition where it would give relief, as Dr. Todd Micaria was fond of pointing out. And in the other medical marijuana states, I'm talking to you here from Oregon, and we find that, we don't have those psychiatrics as primary diagnoses for which marijuana is allowed, but many of our patients do indicate these secondary diagnoses, these sleep problems or PTSD or anxiety that they find marijuana is very helpful for. So I'm really hopeful that new research will help prod the other medical marijuana states into allowing those psychiatric conditions for which marijuana could be very, very helpful. Now, we do need to tell people where they can get the book. I'm assuming it's available on Amazon.com.
Yeah, Marijuana Medical Handbook is on Amazon. It is also available at the California Normal website at canormal.org, canormal.org. And you will even get an autographed edition
if
you go to California Normal. As I say, it just came out actually in October. It's hot off the press.
All right. Well, Marijuana Medical Handbook, A Practical Guide to the Therapeutic Uses of Marijuana by Dr. Dale Gehringer, who is the coordinator of California Normal and a frequent guest here on the Daily Audio Stash. And good luck with the book sales, and we'll...
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, The A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, The A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. I got an email from a stasher who said he loves the show, but what's up with always playing rap, hip-hop, and reggae music? Why not some stoner rock or reefer metal? Why not indeed? I love all kinds of music, and particularly music about weed. But time is short, and I don't have a lot to spend on listening. So I go to iTunes, M-Tracks, Iota Promonet, Podshow, MySpace, Yahoo, and other places looking for tunes. And I punch up weed, or high, or marijuana in the search box, and go with the first decent tune I find. So, if you want more of a certain kind of music, point it out to me. Send me an email at stash@normal.org, or leave a note in the comments at the blog. I read them all. I'm so busy with my nose in statistics and news stories and interviews that I really need a few good stashers to be my volunteer musical directors. So here you go, dear stashers. Some garagey, punk-like rock and roll from an El Paso, Texas band called Rhythm Pigs. Now, back in my day, there was a band out of Oregon called the Baker City Rhythm Pigs, and there must be some other Rhythm Pigs, too, because this band's MySpace URL is www.myspace.com/rhythmpigs1984. It's a song called Too High, which I'm hoping is what happens in my weekend, and I hope you enjoy your weekend. This is Rhythm Pigs with Too High.
Too high. John St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
Well, it's Friday, and normally we would save our government at work segment for Tuesday, but we've got a special meeting coming up on Monday, so Tuesday would be a little bit too late. Joining us from New Jersey and from the Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey is Ken Wolski, the executive director, to tell us about what's going on in the Garden State. So, Ken, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks so much, Russ. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
So I kind of already let the cat out of the bag that there's a meeting on Monday. Let's get the business out of the way and tell our listeners, if they're in the New Jersey area there, what the meeting's about and how they can help.
Okay. On Monday, December 15th, 2008, at 9:30 in the morning, there's going to be a meeting of the New Jersey Senate Health Committee, and it's going to be a hearing about the medical marijuana bill, S-119, the New Jersey Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act. So this will be the first ever voting hearing. The senators on the committee will vote. And this is a very, very important meeting. You know, this really represents significant progress in the legislative process in getting marijuana legalized here for medical purposes in New Jersey.
Sure. Now, the people in New Jersey, the activists there that have been working for medical marijuana, this isn't the first time it's been brought up in New Jersey. It's just the first time they voted on it. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct, Russ. In May of 2008, the Assembly Health Committee held an informational hearing. And then about 2 years before that, in June of 2006, the Senate Health Committee held an informational hearing. And that was very good. That was Montel Williams came to that, Dr. John Morgan came to that. We've been making some progress with getting the information out about the hearings, but about the issue. But we have not had any voting about it yet. And the legislation was actually introduced in January of 2005. So in January next month, it's going to be 4 years that this legislation's been stuck in committee.
Sure. Now, if people want to attend this hearing to help lend their support, where do they need to go and what do they need to know?
They need to go to the State House in Trenton, New Jersey, in the annex. It's going to be held in committee room number 4 on the, committee room number 11 on the fourth floor of the State House annex. If you want to go to the State House, it's in downtown Trenton on State Street. Right next to the State House, with the big gold dome that's a symbol of,
money.
Political power in New Jersey. you need ID, and the public is definitely welcome at this meeting. You know, anybody is welcome to come to this meeting. We urge the supporters of medical marijuana to come and show their support. Anybody is also free to testify at this meeting. The process for doing that is to sign up with the legislative aide prior to the committee meeting and let them know that you want to either testify orally or just submit something in writing.
Yeah.
If you do submit some written testimony, they ask that you bring around 10 copies, one for each of the senators in the committee.
Yeah, this is an exciting thing to get involved with. I've done a little bit of this in Oregon as well, and getting to testify in front of these lawmakers is one of the most important things, especially medical marijuana patients, can do, because putting a human face on this makes it a whole lot harder for the senators to buy into any of these reefer madness allegations about medical marijuana. So definitely want to encourage anyone out there that can testify to do so. And like Ken says, you don't have to testify orally. You can just submit something in writing if you're a little shy. Now, as far as this bill goes, you said it's been 4 years that this has been going. How do the chances look now that Michigan has become the 13th medical marijuana state? Do you feel that New Jersey is poised to become the 14th?
Well, we're certainly poised to become the 14th state. Whether we will or not, I'm not sure. It's a long legislative process, and this is, just another step, but it's a very important and a very positive step in the legislative process here. Michigan becoming the 13th state really did have, I believe, a huge impact. You know, we here at the Coalition were poised to really capitalize on Michigan's, passing their law. Because, we read the polling numbers and we anticipated that Michigan was going to pass their law. And we had press releases ready to go out to all the media outlets in New Jersey, as well as all the politicians in New Jersey. So we were very excited about that. And Michigan's the eighth largest state in the country. It's in the Midwest, It just showed that this is a heartland issue that really has the support of so many people in America.
Yeah, and almost everywhere we poll, we get, huge support for medical marijuana up in the 70 and the 80% range. So it's never a problem of the people's acceptance of it. It always seems to come down to the politicians, and particularly the ones that are so influenced by the testimonies of people in law enforcement. It always seems that's where it comes down to in these state races for medical marijuana. So how does the support look in your Illinois Assembly and Senate? Do you have any particular champions that people should be emailing or contacting to help generate more support?
New Jersey, Russ.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did I say?
Illinois is another issue. Illinois has a bill too. And
I'm sorry. I meant New Jersey, of course.
They look close. There's a lot of support. Wisconsin's working on it. New York is working on it. This is something that's just going to happen. But just to answer your question, we have 18 co-sponsors of the legislation in the New Jersey legislature. That's out of 120 legislators. In the Senate committee, I'm just looking at a list. There's 10 senators on the health committee, and I know that Senator Vitale became a sponsor, and he's the chairman, and there's Senator Whalen, who was also supportive. But on the other hand, we have Senator Ron Rice, who has been very negative about medical marijuana, as well as Tom King Jr. So, I know of a couple of that are supportive and a couple who are opposed to it. Mm-hmm. And there's about six who are sort of sitting on the fence as far as I know. And, a lot of times these senators won't even make their feelings known. They'll just say, well, we're studying the issue. But yeah. That's why it's so important to have a voting hearing, Russ.
Because yes.
Then these senators, here, you've got to make a decision. Do you support it or do you not support it?
Yeah.
And then we'll be able to tell, are their objections reasonable, or are their objections unreasonable? And then, if they're reasonable, we can try to deal with their reasonable objections. The distribution system, for example, was a concern of a lot of the assemblymen. And if they're unreasonable, well, all we can do is try to minimize them and minimize their impact on this.
Certainly. And I think maybe my mind was on Illinois with all the Blagojevich news and on the TVs. Sorry about that. Also, with regard to getting this bill passed, like you say, once we get these senators on the record, we'll know where they stand and we'll know who to talk to. So that's definitely a good development here in the state of New Jersey. So Ken, before we go, is there any website people can go to get more information or to find the directions and everything they need to know about this medical marijuana hearing?
Our website is www.cmmnj.org. I'll tell you, quite frankly, the Drug Policy Alliance has an excellent compassionate use campaign that they're running in Trenton also. And the Drug Policy Alliance has, if you go to their website and look for New Jersey, you just You know, they have a lot of information about the Compassionate Use Campaign, and they have, you know, just a place to go to click and to send a letter to all the Senate Health Committee members so you can testify electronically. And so that's very good. And Marijuana Policy Project just sent a release around that, you know, if you go to their website, you can find information on New Jersey, and you can send a letter to the Health Committee members, you know, urging that they pass this legislation. So, you know, and Normal itself has been very supportive, and we, you know, we certainly appreciate the national exposure that we're getting, you know, through the podcast here with you, Russ.
Well, you're very welcome. And those websites, again, are CMMNJ. That's like the Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey, just the initials, .org. So you can get information on Ken's group there. Also, Drug Policy, drugpolicy.org is the Drug Policy Alliance. And you should be able to find a link for their states and then just head over to New Jersey. Same with Marijuana Policy Project. They're at MPP.org. And, of course, Normal is at NORML.org. We've got links to all of those drug policy websites up at our site at stash.normal.org. In the sidebar on the left where it says Allies, and we've also got a link to the New Jersey, the Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey in our state and local section. Ken Wolski is the executive director for the Coalition of Medical Marijuana in New Jersey and a strong ally in getting medical marijuana to the people of the Garden State. Ken, thanks for joining us again here on the Daily Audio Stash.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Russ.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with another one of our cannabis quotes, this one from James C. Payne, the former U.S. District Judge, who said, quote, "Alcohol didn't cause the high crime rates of the 20s and 30s, prohibition did. And drugs do not cause today's alarming crime rates, but drug prohibition does. Trying to wage war on 23 million Americans who are obviously committed to certain recreational activities is not going to be any more successful than Prohibition was." End quote. That's right, last week was the 25th anniversary of the end of alcohol prohibition. You'd think after 71 years of drug prohibition, they might have learned the lesson. Alas, it hasn't happened yet, but here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we'll keep informing the public about the growing truth about cannabis, and maybe, maybe sometime soon, we can get adult marijuana prohibition ended. I'm Radical Russ. Enjoy your weekend. I'll be at the Oregon Medical Cannabis Awards. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.